Since learning the truth about alcohol over 4 years ago, I've become pretty skeptical about anything that seems too good to be true. You know, like alcohol. If you're like me and you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, congrats, you're a skeptic too. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds our standards. I take Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus every morning because it has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's gentle on an empty stomach and has a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking my multis actually enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/sobermom. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/sobermom for 25% off. All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is two times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Hi. Welcome back to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm so glad you came back. I am excited to welcome my friend Morgan Matkovic on the podcast today. We have been blogging buddies. She and I started blogging around the same time. And I mean, it's been going on like 9 years maybe. So it's so fun that now I get to welcome her on the podcast and have a live conversation with her off of Instagram. I really wanted to hear her story of Dry January, because this is not, as you will hear, this is not her first time trying Dry January, although this time was different, and she kept going. And I just love these stories, so I was so excited to welcome her on to tell her story. She also has a special needs daughter, and she's a fierce special needs advocate. She's a Connecticut native, and she now resides in Charleston. We talk a little bit about that, and yes, I ask her about the Southern Charm people and who she's seen. She's mom to Maddie and Lila, and she recently published her first children's book, My Sister, Lila Lee. It's a story penned following her daughter's autism diagnosis in 2022. Everything is linked in the show notes. You will fall in love with Morgan. We talk about how she kind of glamorizes her life, and now she can put sobriety in there, because if we know anything, it's that sobriety is glamorous and alcohol is not. Okay. And is sobriety really glamorous? No, it's not, but it's way more glamorous than alcohol is. And they get to glamorize that. So we're going to glamorize sobriety. Don't forget, if you love the show, rate and review it. That really helps us out. It helps us get discovered by more moms who are sober curious. And if you're needing community and connection in sobriety, because we all do, come and join the Sober Mom Life community or the Sober Mom Life Cafe. That is all linked in the show notes. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Morgan. Morgan, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I was just saying, this is like we finally get to meet, quote unquote, in person. We've been following each other for a long time.
I think so I started this like space right after Maddie was born.
Yes.
So Maddie will be 9 in June. And I think we've been.
Yes. Yeah.
Following along since then.
Yeah, it's been almost like 9 years because I started like after Harp. I guess she was probably, she was like 6 months maybe, and she's 9 and a half. So we've been like, you know, blogging together and supporting each other like all throughout the years. And our paths have kind of, you know, you were like home, motherhood, recipes, all of the lifestyle stuff, right? And then I was like style and home and whatever I was doing. And then I went into sobriety. And now it sounds like our paths are like coming together
right?
I do too. Yeah. Because when you said that you did Dry January and then you just kept going, I was like, obviously we need to talk about this because this is my favorite subject.
It's incredible. And like I kind of knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when.
Ooh,
for me.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was the first year that like Dry January, I was like looking forward to it. I've actually never completed a Dry January. I've only like really attempted it once. And this year I was like so ready for it. I was so excited for it.
I want to hear this because, okay, you guys go follow Morgan and we'll put all of your stuff in the show notes. You'll tell us everything at the end. But your lifestyle is very like aspirational. You used to live in Greenwich, right?
Yeah. So my husband and I are both from Greenwich and we met there and then we had our kids there.
Okay. And then you moved to South Carolina. So now you had like the Greenwich like luxury vibe, which I always loved. And now you have like the South Carolina luxury vibe, which I love.
Yeah. I am so happy here.
Are you?
Feel so lucky that we did it when we did it, especially because now it's kind of getting crazy down here too. But yeah, we were a pandemic move for sure. My husband was working in Manhattan and he works in construction. So when Manhattan shut down, we kind of were like, what are we doing? And he was already over it. He was so over like waking up at 5, going into the city, getting home like when it was dark, leaving when it's dark. So he knew he wanted a change and it just kind of all fell into place. It was like the silver lining of the pandemic is that we ended up down here for sure. Like, it's just a different way of life. And it's something that I feel really like lucky that we get to do and have, but we also get the benefit of like the restaurants and, you know, it's just, it's really wonderful place to be.
Wait, are you in Charleston?
So we're in Charleston County, but we're in Mount Pleasant, which is just outside. So we're not downtown.
Okay. Do you see any of the Southern Charmers?
Yeah.
You do? Stop. Okay.
Wait. Yeah, we do.
Who?
So like Craig is a member of our club.
Really?
So
is he nice?
And he's like the nicest human on the planet.
Oh,
like
good.
Nice and normal. And like, we've only met him a couple times, but like knows my husband's name's Phil, like knows Phil by name. Like he's like one of those,
nice.
He's a genuinely like good, great guy.
I could see that. I could see that about Craig. What about, okay, who else?
We've seen Shep and Austin.
Okay. Douchebags.
I mean, I've observed from afar.
Yeah. Douchebag.
You
know, yeah.
I think it's like what you'd think.
Okay. Okay.
I met Rod.
Oh yeah. Rod.
Before this last season aired.
Okay.
I met him at a bar with my sister and like lovely.
Oh, really?
It will be of no surprise if he doesn't make it on this
show.
Boring. He's like,
yeah, he's too
just
normal.
Like a normal, like they don't talk. He's an ophthalmologist, which I don't think got any airtime.
No.
Yeah. So like, he's like a normal person.
Oh, yeah. What about Catherine or Thomas?
I haven't seen either of them.
Okay.
But my husband was stopped on the street once because someone thought he was Thomas.
No.
And like, grounds for divorce. I was like, is this really what we're doing?
And your husband does not look like Thomas.
He doesn't look like
no,
him.
No, he doesn't at
like,
all.
No, I'm like, if that's the reality, then
no.
Like,
yes,
what's happening
no,
here?
No. Oh my God, that's hilarious. But okay, going back to like, I think the vibe and you know, like I would see like wine in your posts and stuff, but always very like, I don't like glamorized, right? Like everything else.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like you just, your lifestyle is aspirational, right? And so that fit into it. And then, so then when I saw that like you were doing Dry January and then you were going to keep going, I was like, wait, this is very interesting because I always talk about on Instagram, like I did it. I glamorized alcohol.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, I mean, it's just a part of it. Everyone does it. And so I wanted to have you on here to dive into like, well, yes, okay, so this is what you saw, but here are like feelings behind it or what goes on behind an influencer's feed when it comes to alcohol too,
totally.
Right?
I definitely like if you scroll back, you're scrolling like through thousands of pictures in several years. But like I remember doing like a Valentine's collab with some wine company. I can't remember. One of those like subscription things.
Yeah.
And I like had my like, you know, I was like really in the thick of like I'm a blogger, like had like my letter board.
Yes.
And I'm like, mommy needs wine. Like, you know, just, you know, all that phrasing. And it's true. Like I'm part of my whole platform is like, I'm honest to a fault. So like, it wasn't like I was trying to trick anyone. That's just really was like my life. Like, by the end of the day, you're like pouring yourself a glass of wine. This is what we do.
Right. And I think that that's a really important distinction because it's not like, you know, when I did the Ketel One Botanical ad campaign or like Line 39 wines and I took all their money. Yeah, it was not like a malicious thing, right? It's not a thing of like, oh, I know how addictive this is. I know how much this can wreak havoc. Here, have this. Like, it's not that.
No, and it becomes like part of your ritual, like becomes part of your habit. So I don't think we touched on this yet, but my youngest daughter was diagnosed with autism in the end of 2022. And I just say that just because we're told this sort of lie that motherhood is easier with the alcohol.
Yes.
And I believed it and I kind of felt it for a while. Like I was like, yeah, totally. Then you get into the realm of like parenting a child with special needs. Mm-hmm. And my friends, my other mom friends that I've connected with who also have kids with special needs, you know, they're like, you know, if you're in the pantry crying with a bottle of wine, I'm there too. Give me a call. And I'm like, okay, so now this is like super normalized.
Right.
Like this is hard. And we're medicating ourselves.
Yes.
And I think I actually mentioned to you at one point that I knew I was doing it and it wasn't making motherhood easier. And I knew that there was going to be a shift.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready for it yet, but I knew it was going to happen.
Even just having like that wherewithal though, right?
Yeah.
Because it is, okay, everyone's telling us this is necessary for motherhood. Okay, I hear you. Okay, let me try it. Right. Okay. At first, like you said, sure. Like it makes me not care, which is really, really good when you care so damn much. It feels really good not to care. Right. And like
right.
We
totally.
Need that, especially when you have a special needs child and like you're kind of in it. Right. And you're overwhelmed and like there's so much going on. And so like alcohol comes in really handy. Right. And then just for you to have like the space within yourself to be like, okay, I'm actually seeing and I'm observing and I'm noticing that this is not making it easier. And I think it might be making it harder. That doesn't mean I'm ready to like, I'm not stopping yet, right? But just having this space. And that's why I created everything is to like in that space where it's like, oh, wait. Just wait a second, right? Like before I pour this, like, okay, I think this might be making it harder because historically there's not anywhere to talk about that. Like it's like we don't talk about it.
And I think one of the reasons why I'm sitting here feeling so good is because people like you have created that kind of space and just like the normalization of being curious about it and being sober curious and having so many options. I mean, I don't feel ever like I'm going without.
Right.
I still can go out to dinner and have a mocktail or, you know, there's have an NA beer and it's just like, okay. There's zero difference here, really, except tomorrow I'm going to wake up feeling really good.
Yeah, you're not going to feel like shit.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, like I was totally believed that kind of lie. And it also really makes us really insecure. It makes us have zero confidence in ourselves.
Yes.
So this drink is going to make me be able to parent to my best, you know, living my best life. This is going to be my best shot at motherhood, is like, because I'm drinking and it's helping me cope somehow.
Right. Like, I can't do it. I'm not able.
Yeah. And we need to be confident as moms. Like, we need that, and we need to find it in ourselves. And being, I feel like also while I'm not drinking, I'm building that confidence that I can do all of this stuff on my own. And that's a drug in and of itself.
It really is.
Right?
Like, yes. And it's the whole like high on life thing, which is like, I used to make fun of that. Like, are you kidding me? High on life? Like, what a dork. But like, no, actually, like, especially in motherhood, and especially when there are challenges in motherhood,
yeah,
you know, like struggling with anxiety and all the things that we're struggling with. And then when you have a special needs child, like, you need to be able to count on yourself, because no one else can parent your child. Oh, like, you were made for that job, right?
Right.
I was made,
yeah,
for that. Like, no one can tell me the best thing for my daughter, right? No one can come in here and do it better than I can. And like,
right,
I was made to be her mom, and she was made to be mine. And so, yeah, the idea that then we need a substance to do the thing that we are specifically made to do. Once you step out of that, like, brainwashing, you're like, holy shit. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I know.
Yeah.
You can't unsee it once you've seen it, right?
Yes.
You really can't.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. So I started Dry January. I knew it was like, I was looking forward to it. And like, my family, like, we're big like holiday people. So like Christmas and New Year's and everything, I knew like we were going to be drinking a lot. And I just was like ready to detox my body and just like feel better. And then just like, it's honestly, I haven't done anything so easily in my life. Like,
wow.
Once I was ready, mm-hmm, it was there. And so like, you know, I don't identify as an alcoholic. Like, I don't think I'm powerless to alcohol. There are women in my family that are in AA and do all of that. I don't think that, like, so I don't want to, I would never compare myself to that, because I know that people do really struggle.
Yeah.
But for me, like, when I just took it out of the equation, it just, life became so clear to me. And I definitely was medicating, I think, some of the fears and just some of the challenges coming with being a parent of an autistic child. But what was happening is that I was numbing myself, and I was also not present for some really joyful moments that I think that, you know, you need to get, the only way through is through. So like, I had to be able to like feel all of that kind of shit with her. And then once I was able to like move through that, like, it was just like, on the other side, there's just so much joy. I just think that we need to feel all of the emotions, as hard as it is.
Yes.
And like, then it's just easier.
Yes. And how wonderful it is too, right? And then to teach our kids, like, you're teaching your daughters, you know, it's that thing, like, I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing is so loud. Like, when,
oh yeah,
right? Like, when we're telling our kids, like, no, you know, use your words and like feel all these horrible, hard, impossible feelings, right? And then when we're constantly just like checking out and drinking wine, like, we're showing them like, no, this is obviously, it's too hard for me to feel. And so like, but you could feel it, like, you could figure that out.
Yeah.
And I say that while also having such compassion for moms. Like you said, like, you were scared and like, it was too hard. Part of it did feel like it was too hard to feel, probably, right?
Yeah.
Like the grief or like whatever, the uncertainty and the struggle. And I don't know. I just always want to make sure I have compassion for moms who turn to alcohol, because not only are they told at every turn to do that, but because motherhood's so fucking hard.
It's so hard. And I was talking to my therapist. I don't go to AA. I do go to a therapist.
Yes. Yes.
and I recommend one to everyone.
Yes.
She's been like incredible. And like, you know, one thing that she's done is, because I was talking about, you know, like, I'm not drinking right now. And now I'm not tired. And now I'm not this. And she's like, well, why don't we talk about what you are, though? So like, you know, just like flipping that from like, we're not going to use negative terminology. We're using like all of these things that I've gained.
Yeah.
I would say like in the last It'll be 3 months on Sunday.
Wow.
It'll be 3 months. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's grim and great. It goes quick.
Right? It does.
Right. It really does.
Yeah.
But, you know, in those 3 months, there's maybe been like one or two times where I'm like, you know, I could dive into a martini right now. And the craving for that, it lasts about like 30 seconds when I'm like, okay, but wait, like tomorrow, this is what I'm going to be able to do. And I'm going to feel this way. And I'm going to like move through this and be really proud of myself that I did it on my own. And that, and it's like the conflicts have become very, like, way less, like, just all, it's just such a domino effect that's been really incredible. And I just like feel better.
Yeah.
And look better. Yes. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's just insane.
It's insane.
What it'll do.
No, it's insane. And it makes sense. I mean, that's great that in 3 months, it's only been a couple of times that you're like, you know, oh, I could actually do that. And then it's like, okay, wait, oh, I remember what that is. But the whole romanticization of alcohol, like that can take some time to, you're just like rewiring really after.
Yeah.
Like, when did you start drinking?
Oh my God, like high school.
Right. And so like you had decades, right? Like me too, of doing something this way. And so it's astounding that in 3 months you're able to be like.
It's been, yeah, I keep like waiting. I'm like, is it going to get to a point where I'm like, this no longer feels like this? But that's why I'm hesitant to say never, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, what's never again? I don't know. But I don't see it happening, certainly not today and definitely not tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of has been what I've been telling myself. But I've been thinking a lot about the thing that you talk about is like the moderation game.
Yes.
Like that's just not for me. It is very, very, very easy for me to not have a drink. It is not easy for me to have a drink or two and then not have three or four or five or six. So it's
right.
like I remember back when I, you know, you talk about glamorization, like my sisters and I, like we love a dirty martini, right? It's like just so chic to like go to a nice restaurant and order a dirty martini. And like the way you order it, like I want it bruised with blue cheese olives.
Bruised?
Like,
you know, I am definitely not that chic. What is bruised?
Bruised is like they shake it so much that it's like there's ice chips like floating
in
it. Like
yes.
It's so cold.
Yes, yes, yes.
And whenever we'd order them, my husband's like, well, fuck. Like this night, he's like, one is chic, Morgan. Four are not.
Yes.
Four is not chic.
Right.
And I'm like, they're so good.
Right.
You know?
You're like,
and
but it's bruised.
But it's bruised.
Come on.
And we're at a nice restaurant in Charleston.
Right.
What do you
I
mean?
It is like, that's a glamorization, right? Like you're not alone
yeah.
in that. Like that, hey, like fucking James Bond. I almost said James Brown. I almost said, you know, James Brown probably did it too. James
no,
Bond.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really nice too. I will say like, and you know, all the brands that have the NA
yeah.
like cocktail or what's it called? The booze,
yes,
the NA booze.
Yes, like Ritual and stuff like the.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Ritual. I love a seed lip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this one gin that's like called Cut Above.
Yes.
But it's just like kind of knowing that those are options are great. Like that's not my MO really anymore. It just kind of like changes what you're.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
What you're into doing.
It's so funny because those I think came out more like after I was in that, because I do think there's probably a period where you do kind of just, you know, do the like switch it out almost,
yeah.
right? And then you still have that taste. And I think most of those came out after that period for me. And so when we were just on a retreat, I tried, it was like some like fake, like Ritual gin or something. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Or no, it was Ritual tequila because it was a margarita. And I was like, oh, holy shit. This is weird because it tastes so much like it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, no, like I don't even like this taste. Like I couldn't do it. I was like past that.
Yeah. No, totally. It's like training wheels.
Yeah.
I feel like,
yes,
like
yes.
you know, like it was great for dry, you know, everywhere in Charleston had stuff for dry January.
Yes.
I will tell you though, like not cheaper than a cocktail.
Which is insane. Isn't that
like,
insane? It's
like,
really
it's
not.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
No.
I know. I was somewhere and the mocktail was like $16. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah.
The like
16.
Yes. It's insane. No.
This, yeah, I totally agree.
We need to like, start a petition.
It's crazy. But yeah, so that was super helpful
yeah.
in the beginning. And I just think like, just feeling like you're not like going without is like
yes.
a nice feeling, but.
So when you were, okay, I want to talk about the moderation piece because, you know, that's probably like my favorite subject because we're taught that like that's the goal, right? That you could just.
Yeah,
just,
and you should be able to do that.
Yeah, you should just be able to do that and like.
Just get it together.
Just. Yeah. And if you can't, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, yeah. Don't look at the alcohol. That's fine. It's you. What were some of your rules, like your moderation rules?
So I didn't have them.
You didn't. Because
I just kind of like, I'm would just kind of say, forget it. Yeah. Like, you know,
you're like, I'm not even going to have rules.
If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this.
That's actually very honest because actually moderation rules, it's like, no, you actually don't. You make them when you're not drinking, but when you're drinking, you don't. You don't have them because you're like, no.
I wouldn't even go into it with a game plan. Honestly, like I would just kind of think, fuck it. Like this is just, you know, it's going to be a night. I'm just not going to be present. So that's why, like, I wonder, like, I think that's why I'm so curious about the moderation part now.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's something that I could do now that I'm being like, you know, an adult about my drinking. And it just doesn't entice me right now, though, at all. Like, it just having one or two glasses of wine is just not really my vibe. I don't know. It's like, I'm just like I'm an all or nothing kind of person. And I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it. And like, I'd rather have a scoop of ice cream at this point.
No, for real. I think that trying to moderate a highly addictive substance, a substance that's more addictive than meth, right? That we don't talk about. Is hell on earth. And it just results in so much shame. And the shame, I think, that is like the corrosive part of moderation that really is not present in sobriety and abstinence as far as alcohol goes, right? Because it's not in the picture. And so when you're bringing alcohol back in, it's bringing shame. And that for me, I'm like, ugh, no.
Yeah. And this is why I think this is what's been stopping me and like it's just motivating me to keep doing this.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have a number, I wouldn't try to moderate, but I would wake up and have this anxiety that like would last honestly towards the end at least 2 days. We're talking about like a shame spiral for 2 full days.
Yeah.
And then that's taking me out of being present with my kids. That's taking me out of being a good decision maker. For like really big things that we need to do in this life with these kids.
Yeah.
And it was like a hamster wheel. It was the definition of insanity. And I'm like, I'm smarter than this. What am I doing?
And that's the thing, right? That's where we always, and I always try to bring it back to alcohol being so addictive, right? Because it is like, it's, you can't outsmart it. Like it's not logical because it's so addictive. And like, that's very easy to see when we're talking about cigarettes or cocaine or heroin, right? Or it's like, well, obviously you're addicted. But like the idea for people of being addicted to alcohol, it's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm not that. It's like, well, if there's a highly addictive substance in the picture for an extended period of time, there's a level of addiction at, you know, just like sugar. Like I'm addicted to sugar. Hello, I'm Suzanne. I'm addicted to
fucking sugar.
Love,
give it all.
Love, hate.
Yeah.
Love, hate.
Like I'm now at the point where I'm like, I would choose the sugar over the alcohol, which 100%. Is 100%. Like the lies that I would tell myself, like, and I've also kind of struggled with my weight forever. So I literally would be like, I'm drinking my dinner tonight.
Right.
And then I would be so confused why I would have, you know, 3 vodka on the rocks because I didn't want the calories. And then why I wake up with Taco Bell next to my bed.
Yes.
And why I need to, you know,
yes.
And then it's like, you were better off just eating, you know, your dinner and having your ice cream.
And like everything, it's shutting down of your body of trying, you know, like your body is just on like high alert being like, whoa, like toxin, poison, shut everything else down, which is all that like bubble gut stuff. Gross.
Yeah.
And like all of the stuff that, oh, yes. But sugar, my favorite is when people are like, I just drink vodka. It's the sugar. Like I can't take that. I'm like, oh, right. It's the. Yeah, it's the sugar it's the sugar, guys. Oh my God. Oh my God. But that's just the thing, right? Like you either want to look at it or you don't, or you're ready to look at it and you're not. And then once you're ready, like it sounds like that's why this dry January for you was different because you were like, you were gearing up to it. And the fact that you had done it before but hadn't completed it, like that was all, you took that with you, right? That wasn't failure. Yeah. Like that wasn't, because we can get so down on ourselves. And that's what I always say. I'm like, you guys, this is not a pass fail situation. Like, this is change. This is changing, like, your hard wiring of, like, decades of your relationship with alcohol, right? And so, like, you're bringing all of that experience with you, and, like, you were ready.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think a element of it, too, was just kind of me maturing out of that phase of life that I was kind of clinging to in some weird way. And I'm just, as I approach, I'm be 40 at the end of the year, you know, I just think it's just like, I know, it's not crazy.
I'm so excited for you to be 40.
I'm really excited too. I'm very ready.
Are you?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready. Phil's like 6.5 years older than me. Okay, so he's been there for a while. Yes. And like, I just feel like I'm ready for it. I've had a great 30s. 30s was great, but ready for.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know? I can see you thriving in 40s. And something happens when this happens a lot with like the ladies in the cafe and in our group, that's like as they're getting to 40, it's like 38, 39, and then they choose to be sober and they start to look at their relationship with alcohol. It's like fucking gangbusters. Like you go, like the personal development and the growth, something. Yeah. Oh, and even like I stopped drinking at 39. Like it's something happens that women are like, okay, hold on. And I think maybe the 30s is like with motherhood, it's hard to let that kind of free-spirited, right? Like woman in her 20s who just like living and not really caring about anything. It's hard to let her go. And for me, like my 30s was like, you know, letting her go incrementally probably. And then by 40, you're like, oh, I am now like looking ahead. Like I'm not looking back. Yeah.
No, exactly. And like, what's this next chapter going to be for us? And we can write it. It can be whatever you want. And we have the tools to do it. It's just, I'm excited for that for sure.
So it's the best. And
bring it on.
Yes. And when you realize that like alcohol just holds you back and like just lies to you, and it's like you're not going to reach that potential if it's in the picture, then it makes it really easy to be like, oh, well, yeah, obviously this is the choice, right?
Yeah. And like people say that, right? Like I've heard people say like, you know, you give up alcohol and then all these things happen.
Yeah.
Like and I'm like, okay. You know, it was like when people were selling me essential oils. I don't know if you do that anymore, but I'd be like,
Oh my God. No, but this reminds me. Oh my God. Remember when who recruited me? Maybe Beth from like Seersuckers and Saddles, or like somebody recruited me for Beauty Counter.
Oh yeah, we had a call.
I recruit you? This was like my one MLM thing. Oh my God, you guys, Morgan was my only MLM victim.
I didn't do anything. You probably retired after because I sold nothing.
I didn't do anything. I was like,
okay, good.
I
was terrible at that stuff.
No,
I bought my stuff too.
Yeah, I bought my stuff because I still love their eyeliner.
Yeah. They've got great stuff. I'm just not good at pushing it on people.
No, that's so funny. Because then when Emily Paulson's book, what I was talking to her, I was like, oh, yeah, I did that for like 5 minutes and I only recruited one person. And you guys, it was Morgan. It's Morgan.
That's so good. Our team is just thriving.
We're still going. That's so funny.
Yeah, no, I signed up for someone's like essential oil team and I was like waiting for my life to change. They kept telling me it's like life change and changes your whole life. I'm like still waiting 9 years later. But I will say the not drinking, it's like, I don't know what the connection is. Maybe it's just like, because you do start feeling empowered and like you can do things and you can take care of yourself. And you know, so many opportunities have opened up since then, just in terms of, you know, I wrote my book.
You guys, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. We're going to link it. It's beautiful. Yes. And I'll share it again when this comes out because I love it. Thank you for sending me a copy.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But just, you know, so many things that I never thought were possible or like happening. And it's just, I can't ignore that link. Like I just.
Totally.
Right? It's there.
No, it's 100% there. And then this is where my brain goes. I always think that a sober woman is probably like the most dangerous in a good way. Dangerous for like the men who try to control us. not like in our lives. I mean, like in society, right? Yeah. And big alcohol. Right.
Yeah.
And like maybe what they've wanted this whole time is for us to be complacent and numb and drugged out. Because what happens, like every single woman who comes on here who's a sober woman is like doing shit and like making moves. And I don't mean like you don't have to like change the world in order to do this. I mean, in their own way. We know what we, how we feel, and we know what we need. And that I think can be dangerous for the status quo, which I think is great.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And also like just the energy we have, it just knows no bounds at this point.
No, I'm totally.
Like, what was I doing?
Seriously. Yes.
And
yes. That also can like some women struggle with that in like, oh, wait, I'm actually like bored, like I have time. And I'm always like, isn't that great?
Yeah, it's the best.
You kind of go back to like in high school, at least I did. And I was like, what did I like doing? Like, who was I before this substance came into my life? And like when this wasn't an activity, when activities weren't around revolving around like what was in my cup, like what was I doing and what did I like? And now we get to do that all again.
I know. It's the best.
It's the best.
The time for hobbies.
Yes. Yes. The time for hobbies. Okay. So you're married. You're happily married. Does Phil still drink?
He does still drink, although it's so funny because like he'll be like, I basically quit too. And I'm like, you didn't. That's fine.
That is so funny because that's what Russell says all the time. He's always like, I swear to God, I'm like right behind you. And I'm like, yeah. I know you've been right behind me for like four years. I'm like, that's fine. And it is, right? Like this is our journey. Yeah. It's not theirs. But you can tell that it's soaking in. Like it's getting in there.
He definitely has cut back like a lot. And I will say like we were drinking buddies for sure.
Yeah.
Like we met in a bar. We are like big like football Sunday. Like that is the football's on the background. It's the drinking. Like,
yes.
We're drinking. And so I think he was a little worried about it, if I'm being honest. And now we just went out to dinner last Saturday, a couple days ago. And he was like, my life hasn't changed at all. When I was talking, I was like, what do you think? He's like, actually it has. It's changed for the better. Like it's just...
Aww.
And I think I'm a much more patient person now. I just have a lot more energy for all the people in my house. So I think it's definitely been good for our relationship. I don't know if he'll ever be a sober person.
Yeah.
But he is incredible at moderation. He is.
Yeah.
That is something that like he's just able to come home, grab a beer. Actually, he doesn't even drink after work. But like if he's golfing, he can have like a beer.
Yes, that's like my husband.
And then be like, done. And he's like, yeah, I had my beer.
Yes.
And I'm like, you don't want to like keep drinking the beer after the golf is over? I don't understand.
Like,
so.
Yes.
Like what? But yeah, so he's fine. But yeah, so we'll see. But in his mind, he's slightly sober.
I know. That's so funny because that's so what Russell says. And it's.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like we're the influencers in our home, right? Which is like where everything starts. And like, there's no way this can't sort of rub off on them. And that's why I always tell women, like, just focus on yourself. And it's really hard to like put your husband or your partner's relationship with alcohol to the side, especially when it does affect you. But like, if you're doing this for yourself and like you're just continually checking in with yourself, how do you feel? What do you need? All of that stuff. Like that can't be bad.
No, it can't. And I am very cognizant of the fact that I have a almost nine-year-old, right?
Yes.
So like I was starting to get like not super worried, but like it was in the back of my head that she's seen everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be that kind of mom anymore. It just wasn't for me.
And the older they get and then they start asking questions and then you realize how much they notice and you're like, oh.
Yeah, they're sponges.
Yes. Like, oh, you're watching everything.
Yeah. And like the stuff she like repeats are things that like she'll hear me having a conversation with someone else and I think she's not paying attention. She's just so so I have to be careful now.
Yes.
But yeah. So
no, it's so true.
That made it easy too.
Okay. So what would you tell someone who is just kind of toying with the idea where you were, right? Saying like, okay, this isn't making it easier. This is actually, I think, making motherhood harder, but I'm not ready to quit. Like, what would you tell her?
I would just say, just give it a try and give yourself grace with it. You know,
yes,
it doesn't serve us any at all to be beating ourselves up about anything. Like, it's hard enough as it is, and just do it a day at a time. I mean, honestly, like, I know that's a AA phrase, but like, just see how you feel. Like, it's easy for me because right now, because my body doesn't like the feel of it anymore. And it's just the positives of that initial buzz or that initial being able to exhale after a hard day just is not outweighed by the negatives of it at all. So I'm just really grateful that I like gave it another try when I, you know, instead of being hard on myself for it not working first January.
Oh, yes.
You know,
so much grace.
Just give yourself grace. Yeah.
Yes. With everything, especially when it comes to, yes. Especially when it comes to motherhood and all of this stuff. And change is hard, right? Change is, you're in it for the long haul. So, well, I am so glad. I'm so glad that you came on here.
I'm so happy. Thank you. Yeah. I know I wasn't sure when we first talked about it because I was like, I don't know. I think I might be just doing dry January. I don't want to come on there.
And I was like, no, still. Because I think I always want to talk like, I think when you're in it, right, and when you're just kind of like trying to figure it out and weighing the possibilities, like we need those stories. We need the stories of like, oh, yeah, okay, let's just talk about this. No judgment, nothing. Just like women need a place where we could talk openly about our relationship with alcohol. And so far we haven't had that. So
I love what you're taught, your new, I don't know if it's new, but this whole idea of glamorizing sobriety is like, I love it. Cause I can't even tell you the amount of times that I would wake up, not feeling well and like Google sober celebrities. And I'd be like,
yes,
I'm like, Blake can do it. I can do it. This is she.
No, so exactly. Like we need to,
going back to that.
That's exactly why, like, another reason I wanted to have you on here. Like, you are good. You're good at glamorizing stuff, girl.
Oh, like, that makes me so – that's so nice. I know. I need to talk about it more. I haven't really talked about it much on my own Instagram.
Like, you'll find your – you know, like, you'll know when it, you're like, oh, okay, I want to share more about this.
Yeah.
And then, like – and this is the start. You guys, Morgan is chic as hell, and I'm telling you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Like, this is – sobriety is chic. Yes.
Well, I'm so grateful for you and for your account. So thank you for all you're doing.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
Of course. I'm grateful for you. I love that we have like a 9-year online friendship.
I know. And thank you for reminding me of the beauty counter stuff that cracks me up.
I mean, that is hilarious. You're my one recruit. And we sucked.
I love it.
And we both did fail. Good.
We failed
at an MLM, which is a good thing.
I know. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no one joined MLM.
I want that in my bio, actually. Yeah.
MLM dropout.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Morgan, thank you. Tell everybody where we can find you.
You can find me. My Instagram is Morgan Matkovic. And then you can go to my website. My website, I've switched it over. It's just morganmatkovic.com now.
See, that's a good thing to do. I feel like that's in my future. Just do the name.
Yeah, it's better. I had to change it. I was done with my lilies and lambs.
But that was so cute too. That was the vibe then. I have kept mine, and I need to, one day I'll do it. We'll link everything in the show notes, including the gorgeous book that you wrote
about
your sweet girl. Yes. And thank you, Morgan. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also, follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay, I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
It's easy to blame ourselves for our struggles with alcohol. We see people around us being able to control their drinking without any consequences, yet no matter what we try, we can't seem to figure it out for ourselves. My name is Jillian Teets, and I am the host of the Sober Powered Podcast, where I use my biochemistry background to explain the latest research in addiction and help you understand both why you drink the way you do and how to develop the skills and mindset you need to find freedom from alcohol. I discuss topics like why we think about our drinking 24/7, why we have no off switch, and why we crave alcohol. If you're struggling with your drinking or you know someone who is, then I hope that you will check out the Sober Powered podcast. New episodes every Friday. See you there.